A $400 bonus. That's what you get if you take a job at the world's largest iPhone factory. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne, and thanks for joining us. The new iPhone is launching in about 4 months, so Apple supplier Foxconn needs all hands on deck. New staff at their plant in Zhengzhou in China, known as iPhone City, where 200,000 people work. So new staff there from Monday will receive a bonus of $424 if they keep working there for 90 days. Current staff will also receive a referral bonus if a friend or family member join the staff. So why is all this important? The BBC's Mariko Oi explains it's an indicator that Foxconn wants to keep making iPhones in China for now.
So I guess it goes to show that Foxconn is really trying to retain those workers, because if you remember last year when China was under that very strict COVID lockdown, a lot of workers started reportedly running away from the factory because they just didn't want to get stuck in there. And it even actually affected Apple's bottom line in the end, because that huge concentration of iPhones being produced in China, it was suddenly seen as a risk. And as a result, Foxconn and other companies, and Apple as well, have been trying to diversify away from China. So, you know, some of the winners have been India and Vietnam, and Foxconn is still planning to add more production facility in Chennai, especially in India. And the country is actually expected to assemble up to 50% of iPhones by 2027. That's in, what, 4 years' time, up from fewer than 5%. So a big catch-up to play, but yeah, definitely they're still treating China as an important hub.
The BBC's Mariko Oi there. Now, try as we may to reduce our plastic consumption, it's in everything, in our shoes, our cars, our food wrappers. And today, delegates from 175 countries are meeting in Paris for a major conference on ending plastic pollution. And it's hoped a binding treaty could be signed by the end of next year on this. From Paris, the BBC's Hugh Schofield has more.
It's been calculated that the 8 billion tons of plastics that have been created by mankind since 1950 would carpet the whole of France with a layer 50 centimetres thick. Plastic particles are found at the bottom of the oceans and on mountain tops. They're in the air we breathe. The aim of these talks is to produce a treaty that will eliminate new plastic pollution by 2040. It's a tall order, but as President Macron said in his message, there is urgency.
Today, there is not a single place on the planet that has escaped plastic pollution, and this pollution is accelerating. If we do nothing, we will generate triple the amount of today's plastic waste by 2060. Plastic pollution is therefore a ticking time bomb, as well as a plague that has already commenced. It is our duty to end it as quickly as possible.
If everyone agrees on the extent of the problem, finding common ground between 175 nations, as well as campaigners and industry, will not be easy. France and the UK are part of a bloc pushing for an eventual ban on single-use plastics, like most packaging, and for obligatory targets backed up by the threat of fines. The United States and China want targets to be voluntary. Oil-producing nations, remember plastic comes from hydrocarbons, want to focus on recycling. The talks here last till Friday. Three further rounds are planned. The hope is for a treaty to be signed early in 2025.
That was the BBC's Hugh Schofield in Paris. Now, let's do the numbers. India has reclaimed its spot as the world's fifth largest stock market. It's lost that status to France in January after a short seller report on the Adani Group caused a heavy sell-off. But now those shares are on the rebound. And in Spain, the inflation rate there fell faster than expected to 2.9%, much faster than other European countries. And just yesterday, the country's Prime Minister, Pedro Sanchez, announced a snap general election in the country due now in July. Portugal's housing crisis is just getting worse, and that's despite new government measures to try to control it. In Lisbon, the country's capital, the average rent is now three times the minimum wage. From there, the BBC's António Fernandes reports.
Portuguese comedian and activist Diogo Faro posted this video on social media early this year about rocketing rent prices in Lisbon, and accidentally became one of the faces of the country's affordable housing campaign.
Elderly people that are choosing between paying rent or medication, so they are shortening their lives to have a roof.
Faro got together with friends and started the movement Casa é Direito, a house is a right. They organized a demonstration that got more than 30,000 people out on the streets of Lisbon. Nurse Joelcy Pacheco didn't join the protests because she was working. Could she make her rent without working 16 hours a day?
Só com emprego não seria difícil, seria quase impossível.
With one job only, it wouldn't be difficult. It would be impossible. Most of my salary goes towards rent, not to mention bills or food.
And that's because the numbers just don't add up. The average rent price in Lisbon is now over 2,000 euros a month, but the minimum wage is still under 800 euros. Joelle is anxious about her rent going up.
It means it's likely I'll have to move back in with my mom, way further from work, and I'll have to restructure my entire life.
Joelle's case is far from unique.
We still have a dysfunctional market and lack of balance between supply and demand. We're talking about rent prices in Lisbon that are higher than some of the richest areas of Berlin, for example.
That's Luís Mendes, a geographer and housing researcher who works at the University of Lisbon.
As short-term rentals like Airbnb rose, it diverted houses from residential use to tourism.
And then there's government measures aimed at attracting foreign investment through tax-free schemes for investment funds, digital nomads, and, most of all, golden visas.
The golden visas allowed investors from outside the EU to get a resident visa in Portugal. But often they would redo a house but wouldn't give it any use. It would be empty. Many times those properties would then be sold time and time again, and that created a distortion on the housing market.
In a new housing program, the government is, amongst other things, putting a stop to golden visas and limiting how much rents can increase. But for many, it's too little, too late, and the anger continues.
BBC's Antonio Fernandez reporting, and that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Our producer today was Ollie Dalbert Hansen, Lewis Main on the tech, Will Bain, our editor, and I'm Leanna Byrne. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.